Welcome to the Round Rock Church of Christ Teaching Podcast. We're a faith community located in the central Austin area that gathers at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We hope this teaching blesses you as we become spirit-filled and spirit-led Jesus followers for those who do not have a home.
Good morning, church. Hey, if you got a Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to actually turn to Genesis chapter 3. That's where we're going to stop. We will get to the book of Ruth, but we can't start there. We got to make a stop there. In 1999, the publishing company HarperCollins finally accepted a manuscript of a children's novel by the author of the name of Daniel Handler. His previous manuscripts of different children's novel stories had been rejected over and over again due to one simple fact. He was an excellent writer, but all of his children's stories were full of these never, ever, happily ever after stories. They were actually miserable stories. They were unhappy stories. Test groups said, why would we let children read those stories? And he actually believed that children could handle a lot more of the harder complexities of life. So he wrote this story about home. And he knew that he had a bestseller on his hands. And as a matter of fact, he did, because in 1999, this book went on to actually sell 65 million copies, to be translated in 41 languages, and to move to being a movie, and in my opinion, a terrible Netflix show. He came up with the book called A Series of Unfortunate Events, which, if you've never heard of this story, is a story that follows. It's a 13-book series about these three siblings, these three orphans, who are trying to find home. And there are things that constantly get in the way, people who get in the way, and a series of unfortunate events always fold. And when asked after completing this series why he thought that this book series that was full of all of these unhappy and miserable stories captivated people, Daniel said, because everyone, and I mean everyone, knows what it's like to feel the disappointment or the longing of knowing what home could be or what home should be. There are cliches out in the world that will try to talk about the word home in a way that is not complicated or not complex. You'll hear things like, home is where the heart is, or home is not a place, it's actually a feeling. And if that's the case, then the question has to be asked, if home is so easy, then why is it so hard to find it? And why is it so easy to feel like you lose the sense of it? Or as one of our elders actually said in the visioning process of this church, you know, for some people, the word home never even started out as a good word. What does it take to have a sense of home, especially when the place or the feeling of home is no longer there? That is the aim of the next 4 weeks of a series that I'm calling Home at Last. The heart loves to feel at home. And the word home has some serious ramifications for us. It is a DNA of this church, and it's actually part of the language we use for the vision that we believe God has set before us, that we're to be spirit-filled and spirit-led for those who do not have a home. So therefore, how we talk about home matters significantly. That we believe here at this church, home isn't just a question that is geographical, but is actually a spiritual one. Finding and creating a sense of home, no matter what the world tries to tell you, actually takes deep, roll up your sleeves, hard work behind the scenes. Some people who come to this church and walk in are like, this place is beautiful. This place is awesome. And in the back of my mind, I always think, if they only knew how much deep work happens for every single person who calls this place home. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to unpack what is the work that happens behind the scenes for not only us to have a sense of home, but also to help others find home as well. And to do that, we've got to talk about a book that is all about home. Maybe you've never heard of the Book of Ruth, or maybe you haven't thought about the Book of Ruth being a story about home, but it's actually a story from the beginning all the way to the end that is speaking about how does someone find a sense of home. As a matter of fact, how does someone find a sense of home when home feels like it is changed or ripped from you? So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to cover the Book of Ruth. If you have a physical Bible that's somewhere located on your person or in your house, I would encourage you to bring that Bible with you. We will make notes as we read through each chapter. You don't have to make question of what chapter are we covering. Depending on what week we're on is also the chapter we're on. So today we're going to be in chapter 1 of Ruth. And as I've sat with this book over the holidays, I do believe, as I've sat in the quiet in prayer, that I believe God has not just theological truths that are good for us to know. I actually believe that the Spirit of God has words for us. Those of us who are in this room right now, who do the hard work of making this church home for everyone. Today, the Book of Ruth in chapter 1, I want to start us off with three words that will kind of set the stage for the Book of Ruth. If you're unfamiliar with the story or you need some refreshing, the Book of Ruth begins with the word home, we'll touch on suffering, and then we'll touch on the word clinging. If we go through these three words, we will have the stage set for the Book of Ruth. Now, the Book of Ruth, it's important to know, actually begins like the series of unfortunate events. It's a book about home, but it actually starts off by saying everything that happens at home is actually terrible. It's about finding home, but not without first talking about losing everything that makes home. In Ruth 1, it begins like this. In the days when the judges ruled, which we'll come back to that, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab. This would not be the home of God's people in Moab. And he and his wife and two sons, the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of their two sons, which I'm not going to pretend to pronounce. They were, I'm not going to pronounce that word either, from Bethlehem and Judah. And they went into the country of Moab and they remained there. Ruth 1, starting in verse 1, that phrase, when in the days the judges ruled, you may want to underline that word or phrase. It's one of the ways that the Bible is hinting something to you in the very beginning. It's a way of starting the story of saying things were not right at this time. That the book of Judges, which would come right before you flip to the pages of Ruth, would actually be the people of God who traveled around, were longing for this promised land, get there. And once they get there, they think all the problems are going to be solved. And they actually found out that all they did was take the problems with them. The place they thought was going to be home didn't actually feel like home. Which, if this story is beginning with where things aren't going right, then the next question we ask is, well, where were things going right? And that's where you get a good answer to what's it mean for home. You know, in the Bible, we talk about all the time that the Bible is not just a collection of stories, it's also a collective story, that how your Bible is laid out is telling you one big overarching narrative. And the very first pages of Genesis, you get the story of what it means for us to be at home with God and with each other and with the world. There's three things in the very beginning when humanity is at home with God. Three things are in place. One is food is provided. Literally in the opening pages of Genesis, God creates this world and there's food for humanity. The second is family, that God actually gives people to connect with. And the third is that there's a promise, a future of life. If you don't eat from this tree, you will not die. But if you do, you will die. This is how God sets up home. And God says, trust me. And humanity goes, mm-mm. We will trust ourselves to navigate home instead of trusting God. And when you get to Genesis chapter 3, you see the repercussions of humanity not trusting God to provide home. Let me show you these three in Genesis chapter 3. This is what God pronounces after the fruit is eaten, after humanity distrusts. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of the tree. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Translation, that food, cultivating it, eating it, preparing it, the work of the ground will be burdensome for you. This is the first thing. Food suffers, is affected. Number two, to the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbirth exceedingly great, which all the women said, thank you. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. The second effect is that family suffers. The home suffers. And lastly, God says this, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you will return. In other words, the third thing that suffers is future life. These are the three things that suffer, the aftermath of humanity not trusting God to provide home. This isn't only the beginning of the story of Genesis. This is also the beginning of Ruth. Because unlike Genesis, Genesis will tell a story through the eyes of Adam. Ruth will tell a story through the eyes of a woman named Naomi. And pay attention, this story begins with Naomi, not with Ruth. And the three things that happen at the very beginning is, first, there's a famine in the land, food. The second thing is that the sons end up marrying Moabite women, which would be the equivalent of, do not marry someone that is against this household. And so you have family conflict. And the third thing is that you've got two sons and a husband who pass. So you find the story of Naomi starting in the first five verses is there's an issue with food, there's a famine. The second thing is that family is not right. There's no sons that are born, and the people who marry into the family are not who Israelites would marry into. And the third thing is that the future of life is no longer promised. If you were a woman during this time, a lot of your promise of the future of life would be within your husband and within your sons. They would be the people who would secure you, who would speak for you. The question that Ruth begins with is a question that all of humanity asks. What do you do when the things that fill you, what do you do when the people you connect with and consider family, what do you do when the future that you were assured of that you had is ripped from you? What do you do then? The first thing that I want us to hear about home is that home is not just a geographical question. It's a spiritual question with God. All of us long for these three things to be true, to be provided for, to have people that we connect with, and to have assurance of what we are going to do in the future. God designs us this way. And one of the sobering things of the story of Ruth is that if you walk through life and you feel like home is constantly changing, and I'm very cognizant we just got done with the holidays, and for some of us, we sat at homes that we don't recognize. For some of us, we looked at the reality of who we consider family, and it's less than assuring to us. The Bible is very realistic in recognizing part of the suffering of a human is that home is always changing. The sense that we want is always changing. But the invitation that God has for those who feel like home isn't resonating with them is actually found deeply in this book, which leads us to the second word of suffering. If part of home is going to be a wrestling, a suffering, then there's also a word in chapter 1 for us with Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi pair together. Ruth is one of the daughter-in-laws of Naomi. Ruth stays. She actually deals with the cards that is dealt, and each of them are walking through their own grief, their own suffering of home not being what they wanted it to be. And each of them embody for each other what is needed in the midst of that suffering. They each help each other fully be who God wants them to be. So let's look at both of them. First, let's look at Naomi. Naomi, actually, as she's traveling back home after she's lost her sons and she's lost her husband, actually says this. She says, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went back full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity against me?" The first thing to hear when it feels like home is changed and home you can't resonate with and home is hard to recognize, the first thing to recognize with the faith of Naomi is she shows us that faith in God doesn't mean you walk around being optimistic. It means you walk around being realistic. Just because things are going wrong does not mean that you have done something wrong. If you find yourself in a place of hurting, in a place of suffering, you have not failed as a follower of God. As a matter of fact, suffering is a form of a meeting ground with God. And God can handle the bitterness that we have. You do not have to put your faith on hold if life is hard for you. It's not something to set on a shelf. It's actually something to bring before the presence of God and let Him work with you in it. I remember my first ministry role. I had a dual role where I got to do this really vibrant ministry and young adult ministry. And I loved it. Things were exciting. Things were fun. And I was also an associate preacher, which meant I did everything that the main preacher didn't have time to do. And I remember one of the things that felt so drastic was that this side of ministry was so life-giving and it was vibrant. And I remember everything that I would do on this side of the role would be extremely hard. The hardest thing was I remember getting a call one day of a family who needed to prepare for a funeral, which I'd done several of those and I was ready for. And only minutes before the meeting did the news actually break that the funeral would be for a baby. That the baby was in the car wreck and that it was the parents' fault. And I remember in the wisdom of one of my mentors and bosses, He pulled me into a room before I met with that family, and he said, "Do not, under any circumstance, try to defend God right now. Defend that family." In other words, what he was saying is that in the midst of that family suffering, God does not need defense. God can be God. God can handle whatever hardship, whatever suffering, whatever bitterness you have towards him. You can just name that before God. God is just as present in the vibrant moments of life, just as much as he is in the aching of life and longing of life. God is found in both of those rooms. And it's important for us to draw. If Naomi paints anything for us, she may be upset, she may be bitter, she may feel like everything is taken from her. But the one thing she does do is she does not withdraw from God. She actually draws towards God in her pain. You and I can draw towards God in our pain. You can name things to God, even if it feels wrong. You can be accusatory. You can name those things. The Lord can handle those things because we trust that God is doing deep things in the darkest places of our life. Now, this matters for Naomi, but it also matters for Ruth. You must remember, Ruth is a Moabite, which means she doesn't worship the same God as Naomi. But she actually comes to believe in this God that Naomi follows. Here's the language that Ruth uses. Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God." That's the Old Testament translation of a conversion. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. In other words, Ruth sees the way that Naomi goes through suffering and actually encounters God, which is the mystery of suffering. For some people, they lose God in the midst of suffering, and other people find God in the midst of suffering. Maybe one way to hear it for someone this morning who hurts, who is suffering in one way or another, is that God does not want suffering for your life. But God will not waste it when it comes. God doesn't initiate job loss, diagnosis, broken relationships, chaos into our lives, but he will not waste it when it does come into our lives. We have the opportunity to be able to ask, what is the Lord doing in the hardest circumstances of life? Whose life is he changing around us as we go through this hardship? I believe one of the words that exists for us as a church is actually found right in this spot here. I know that as we've gone through change over the past year to year and a half, I know for some of us it has brought forms of suffering that we didn't even know were going to enter our lives. I know for some of us it's hard to come to church because there's faces of people who aren't here, and that's hard for us. And the thing that I want to name to us as a church that I think the book of Ruth that the Spirit is ushering in for us is that God sees our pain and he will not waste it. People are coming home to God, even in the midst of our work, even in the midst of our hardship. And if you wrestle with, how do I stay in this? How do I see this through? The third word of Ruth is the word for you. It's the word cling. You can't even get past the first chapter of Ruth without the hope of God working beneath the darkness that's happening in life. Here's where it's hinted at. If you go to all the way at the end of Ruth chapter 1, this is in verse 22, it's worth circling this last phrase here. So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Translation, at the beginning of God working and doing something new. Now, if you were to read just this phrase and you didn't know the rest of the story of Ruth and Naomi, you would see this phrase and you would say that does not outweigh what these two widows are going to go through. In the Hebrew, when you run into the word widow, it shares the same root word with the word unable to speak, which is a really good summation of what Ruth and Naomi are going to encounter. When there is no father, when there's no husband, when there is no son, when there's no child that's a male that's coming down the line of the family, in ancient ears, what you would hear in that reading is story over. There's nothing more to tell. These two women will scrap for the rest of their lives, and who knows if they will make it out. But the hope of God that's found in Ruth 1 is the hope that exists for anyone that's available to anyone this morning, is that God takes endings and makes them into beginnings. What looks like the end to us is never the end to God. In the book of Ruth, what looks like the ending for two widows actually becomes the beginning of God's salvation story being worked through the two of them. And while they're in their deepest, darkest moment, they have no idea what is actually going to come through their faithfulness to God. So I just want to say this morning, if you're at church for the first time or the first time in a long time, maybe no one else will say this to you, but I want you to know that the sudden job loss, the relapse of bad decisions, the divorce, the passing of a parent, kids rejecting the faith you tried to hand to them, friends betraying you that you thought would walk with you forever, it is not the end with life with God. God takes endings and he makes beginnings. Those chapters may come to a close. Those chapters may not be touched again in this life. But this God does make new beginnings. And if you ask me, how can we be confident in that? The answer is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross, the thing that you and I stare at when we worship every Sunday, at one time was the emblem and form of punishment, torture, shame, and abuse. And now at least a third of you in the room wear it as a necklace when you walk around in the world. Can you imagine if I had an electric chair as a necklace? If I had a pistol as a necklace? You'd be like, that feels a little disturbing, Zane. God is so good at taking what looks like an ending and actually making a beginning out of it. He takes what looks beautifully destroyed and actually takes something and forms it into something beautiful. We have to hold on and let God do his thing. You know, Ruth actually says, or sorry, Naomi actually says, where is it? I thought I had that verse. Maybe I do not have that. Oh, now we're into worship. Okay. All right. So I'll just sum it up. Literally, there is a point where Naomi says, I've been filled by God, and now I am empty when it comes to God. I want to just recognize that's not true. Naomi may not see it right now in the darkness, but when Naomi's coming back home, she's got Ruth with her. God is working something, even within the deepest ache and darkness. And how you hang on is you hang on by clinging. You trust God by clinging that he's bringing people home, and you cling to the other people who are also trying to find home at last. This is the language. Mark, can you back me up a couple slides there? Yep, perfect, perfect. So they wept out loud, and one of the daughter-in-laws kissed her goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. That word for clung actually isn't the first time that's used. The first time that's used is actually in Genesis chapter 2. Therefore, a man leaves his family and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one. In other words, the book of Ruth is using family language that Ruth and Naomi will get to see God do something they never could have imagined. When home is difficult to see, the first thing we must do is we must cling to the reality that people are coming home to God, and we must cling to each other. In essence, what we need as a church in this season is we do not need to give up the small ways that we are clinging on to each other. In emotional psychology, they call these things called bids, where you actually psychologically send out signals to people that you are wanting connection with them. Here's how this happens in the foyer on Sunday mornings. So what's new with you? So did you see the game last night? Those seem like really small surface level things. What we're actually doing is giving emotional bids to each other to say, I want connection with you, right? We do this in all these different ways. I found that there was a study in the Washington University that talked about bids when they surveyed couples, and they said when a husband or a wife ignores more than 19% of the bids that the spouse is giving, disconnection and the possibility of divorce increases astronomically. The question I'm asking us this morning is, are we giving the bids, and are we receiving the emotional bids of clinging on to each other, or are we withdrawing? Because the invitation, if we're withdrawing from our home right now, is to lean back in, to cling to the reality that God is bringing people home here. And how God wants to also help others feel at home is he wants to do it through you and through me. So Lord, I pray for us in this season where you're doing exciting things and hard things. I pray, can you infuse in us a passion to draw near? Can we be reminded of how you draw near to us? You do not give up on us. How we cling to you, you cling to us. Can that ooze out of us? The clinging to each other. Lord, I ask for just in this moment of silence, can you bring up a name of somebody this week who we need to cling to, that we need to give the nudge of Ruth, who says, my God is your God. Where you lodge, I lodge. Spirit, will you bring up a name of somebody in this church who we need to cling to? Lord, help us to hold on and to reach out to them this week. May it be so in your name. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer this morning, there'll be people in the back to receive you for that time of prayer. Let's worship.